All right, so Father, we just thank you for another awesome time together, and we just call tonight to be blessed in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you for just bringing us together and giving us this time to fellowship and pray for each other and share what you're doing in our lives. And Father, we just ask you just guide us this evening, Lord. Let us edify each other. Let us edify you. And we just call tonight blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, let's go ahead and start off with if anybody needs prayer, any prayer requests, like we usually do here. So how about anybody have anybody on their heart, or does anybody need prayer?
Yeah, y'all believe with me for Michael LeBeau.
Okay.
Father, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, we thank you for the authority you've given us. We thank you, Lord, that all the curse was put on you at the cross, and we don't have to suffer with it. And in the name of Jesus right now, we command healing in his body in Jesus' name. We command the shortness of breath to go. We command the back to be healed in Jesus' name. Every infirmity, the spirit of infirmity, we command you to go from his body in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that every portion of his body is healed by the stripes of Jesus. And we praise you, Lord, that Michael is healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Lord, we put our faith together and we believe for his total freedom, Lord. And we bind up the enemy from lying to him, these false symptoms. And we just thank you that he is healed. And we just command just healing into his body in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'd like to. You said if somebody had been on our mind.
Yeah, on your heart. Just you want to pray for somebody? Or
Well, what I'd like to do is me personally. I'd like to apologize to Kim if things got misconstrued, and let her know that we love her, and that all of us, you know, are fighting a battle trying to grow in the Lord, which I know I am very much and all. And UBM isn't a bad group at all, and I think things got taken out of context. And like I said, me personally, I'd like to just apologize to her and ask her to forgive me and for anybody else, you know, if we offended her. And that's it.
Amen. I think most of us were on the call the other night, and I was gonna talk about that a little bit. But let's just make sure. Does anybody else need prayer for anything?
Yeah, Tim, I noticed that the call wasn't, the recording wasn't posted, so I presume something happened that...
Yeah, it did.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Let me just talk about something else in lieu of that. At that time, on Tuesday, I was visiting... Actually, my intent was to go to a nursing home and talk to somebody there I'd been talking with about the Lord. And... actually, the Lord had healed her, just her knees, but she was involved, hadn't renounced some things. But I went into the nursing home there and discovered that she wasn't there. In fact, she was had gone over to the nearby hospital and was in the CCU. So I went over there got in touch with her husband, located her room, and I just happened to be there as they were bringing her into the room, and I was quite distraught because she had very, to my, at least the way I, from my perspective, had very quickly migrated from what seemed to be, you know, not anything too serious to all of a sudden being at death's door, basically. So finally, they pulled the curtain back, which meant visitors could go in. So I went in, and she was breathing like it was her last. It was, I've seen this kind of stuff overseas. It was hard to watch. But anyway, she immediately recognized me. Her husband said that, well, maybe I should, you know, HIPAA rules are such that I probably should be careful. But anyway, I wasn't sure what to do, and I was, during the time while they were, before the curtain was pulled back, I was just in another room just seeking the Lord, and I was feeling a lot of regret, because I felt like I could have been in to help her much, much earlier. I'll just leave it at that. But anyway, it had finally come to this point. So I finally went in there, and she recognized me and really perked up. And they had said before that she wasn't responding to anything. She couldn't answer. She could just look at me. So I didn't know what to do, but I just basically, I said, you know, marriage, following Jesus is like marriage. It's, you know, forsaking all others and following just this one man. I said, the same with the Lord. And I said, and because of the other stuff that she hadn't, to my knowledge, really given up, that she needed to deal with, I simply said that, and I just prayed that she understood what I was saying. And I said, just, you know, renounce everything else, just, you know, and anyway, I walked her through, you know, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and whatnot. And around this time, they pumped her full of morphine, you know how that goes, and so she was starting to fade pretty quickly. So it was quite a bit of reflection, a lot of reflection for me. It's one thing to have faith for healing, and it's another thing to almost raise the dead, if you know what I mean. Anyway, I don't know what's happening now. I would really solicit prayers for her if she's, the Lord's kept her alive to this point. And certainly to pray for her husband. I've talked to him, but I haven't talked to him about the Lord. So, and I do want to make contact with him, because he was very happy to hear, you know, that I was getting in touch with him, and he was very anxious to tell me what was going on. So I haven't been able to reach him since Tuesday night. So anyway, while you folks were on the conference call Tuesday night, that's what I was doing. So I just solicit your prayers for, and for me too.
Well, Malcolm, do you want to go ahead and pray for them, and we'll enter in with you?
Sure, yeah. Lord, I just want to thank you for your patience with all of us. I thank you for your guidance. And I pray, Lord, that we will be quick to hear your voice and to hear your instructions and to get words from you as we talk to people. Lord, this is bringing people to you is your thing, Lord. You're bringing people to yourself. Jesus, you said that no man can come to him except the Father draw him. And so it's all your drawing, Father. And I pray that you will, and I know it's, you're using all of us. By that I mean at whatever stage we're at with you, Lord, you're using us in that situation, and your patience and grace and mercy is just incredible with us, and also your mercy for the people that you put in our path, Lord. And I just pray that if this lady is, if you granted her to still have to have physical life here, Lord, I just pray that you'll make a way for her complete healing and filling with your Holy Spirit, so that she can be a witness to others, and also that she can start helping others. And I also pray for her husband, Lord, that you will open the door for folks talking with me, talking with him. And also, Lord, I pray for the other folks around me where they're obviously demons, just demonic outbursts happening in a nearby church here. I just pray that you'll give me wisdom to keep my mouth shut or to open it. But if I do, it's under your direction and your spirit. Lord, I pray that you will, you'll just make us humble, and that we will forsake all others ourselves and follow you and turn from everything other than you. Especially now, we just, our hearts be crying out to you, like it says in Psalms 42. I thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. And Father, I just I enter in my faith, as we all do, with Malcolm for this lady, Lord. And Father God, we just ask you just have mercy and grace on her, that you grant her just repentance, you grant her salvation, Lord. Father, just you know, she's in a tough spot right now, and we just ask that you just visit her in her thoughts, in her dreams, in her mind, and we just pray salvation for her, Lord, that you will just grant that. And Lord, we just we pray that you will just lift her up, Lord, and that this situation will draw her husband to you, draw him to truth, Lord, just that you'll work in him through this situation. And we pray for his salvation also. And Father, we just thank you for just giving Malcolm wisdom and direction when we're faced with these, you know, situations where we don't know what to do. All we can do is be led of you. You know his heart. And we ask, Lord, that you just guide him and direct him, Lord. And we just thank you for his obedience and his heart, you know, to reach out to this lady and this family. And we just thank you for just blessing him in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, anybody else?
Amen. I hook my faith up with y'all's and believe for Malcolm's wisdom, and I believe for this lady's salvation and her husband in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Do you mind if I just, I already prayed about this, but I'm just asking for God's wisdom and direction, and I think a lot of us sense that major, major things, huge areas of Satan's kingdom can be broken. And it's like it's you can see the God, because it's, you know, life is so intertwined, and there's so many people that have connections with other people, and other, you know, how that, you know, the whole ripple effect. But our little church here, church in the whatever sense of the word, okay, the way people have used that term. Anyway, the group down here has got somebody who's very demonized. It's just obviously demons. And they spent a good part of a recent meeting discussing what to do, whether they should have a restraining order, or possibly requiring him to certify that he's been taking his drugs. And then they also heard that he was taking herbs that helped even more than the drugs, but, you know, but people are questioning why herbs, why not the drugs? I'm listening to this conversation from so many angles and different people, and I'm just praying, Lord, keep my mouth shut. I'm just screaming inside of it, Lord. But I think it's good, because I think the Lord wants us to depend on him, not run in and try to fix everything ourselves. The problem is there's a bit of a thing of, you know, these people have their own leadership. You don't want to barge in and just, you know, make a scene in somebody else's happy little thing they've got going. You know what I mean? So I'm just praying for God's wisdom that I'd love to see this guy delivered. And, of course, there are lots of other people that need it too, but guy's an extreme case where there's a lot of violence and property damage and stuff like that. So instead of the police showing up all the time, I'd rather see the Lord set this poor guy free. He was praying for wisdom for that.
Amen. This is just a member of the church?
I don't know if he is. He's just there. He's going there. I think he's probably been in that system baptized. Probably a baptized member. He knows the lingo and the talk and everything. So,
all right. Well, let's just pray for him. So Father, right now, we just, sounds like there's not any faith in this church. And Lord, we put our faith together for this man. You know what's going on in his life. You know the demons he's dealing with. You know the doors that have been opened. You know all the ins and outs of this situation, Lord. And their man is trying to get him to get on drugs. And, you know, Lord, we're just believing for his deliverance, Lord. So, Father, right now we lift him up to you. We put our faith together for him. And he's in bondage right now to the enemy. He's under, you know, he's oppressed. And, Lord, we just ask that you just, guide him to truth, Lord. Guide him to somebody that understands deliverance, and or give them a hunger for your word, and whatever will break the yoke of this bondage, Lord. And we just bind up the principalities and powers that are controlling his head. We bind up anger and rage, and we forbid it. And we just ask, Lord, that you just open his eyes to the word, whatever it takes to get him delivered, Lord. And we, Father, we just put our faith together for him that you're going to do a work that, you know, man, you know, demanding he's on drugs is just works, and that you can set the stage to get him set free, Lord. And Father God, we just ask you just reveal to him the cause for the curse. And show him truth, Lord. And if there's an area that he needs to repent, we ask you to just grant him repentance to change his mind, and that the truth will set him free, Lord. Give him a hunger for your word, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hey, Malcolm.
Sure.
This is Michael. Hey, sounds like this guy's seriously demonically depressed.
Yeah, we've got a couple of folks like that. It's funny how, you know, you can have different hats and they have different responses or different types of behaviors and situation. And one guy was saying that he would physically take down the other guy, and they're both chuck full. And it's like, I was listening to this discussion. It's like, but anyway, I just long to see God's kingdom. I've been watching some of Torben's video footage of baptisms in Australia and whatnot. It's so exciting to see people baptized and you know, the demons coming out of them, and they're so free afterwards, speaking in tongues and just happy as larks, you know. And I just long to see that happening, you know, around me and all of us, you know. I think we all want that. So we just want to be walking in the fullness, and I just love it. So.
Amen.
Yeah, I agree. That is, I mean, to see a life change like that, you know, see the power of God on somebody, I mean, it's just so joyous.
It's, well, you know, I came out of the system, and you know, we don't, you know, it's not like, I mean, what we were saying was that, you know, when, you know, back in Jesus' day, yes, they didn't know, understand a lot of things, so Jesus just healed them and you know, kicked out demons. They called them demons, but now, you know, we've got doctors and we have drugs and we have institutions that we can put these people in and drug them into oblivion, and it's such a disgusting and happy alternative. I mean, you know, where's all the great light in that progression? Jesus just deals with it. And now we just kind of either adjust or sublimate.
Amen. Yeah, we got all these drugs and all this, you know, everything that man provides. I mean, they all run to that first before the Lord.
I was in a meeting where this lady up front made this. I couldn't believe she was saying this. She said, yes, Jesus did heal in his day. But now we have. And I was thinking, what? Now we have this and that and the other thing.
Boy, I'd had trouble with that. I'd have probably asked, what book and what chapter and what verse is that?
I almost did up, but you know.
Yeah, I know. That's just the way they believe.
Instead of standing up, I just stood up and left. But anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
Amen. All right. Does anybody have anybody else have somebody they want to pray for or that needs prayer? Is that Jeanette?
Yeah.
My wife, yeah, Jeanette and me. We've been having trouble with forgetfulness lately to an extreme. Had I not called the office, I'd have never found out I was almost late on my rent. I was late, 5 days late, but you're giving grace for 5 days.
We didn't even know it.
We forgot about it entirely. And every time we open the microwave, there's a cup that's lukewarm after been sitting in that microwave waiting for somebody to take it and make tea or whatever. So I'm getting concerned about it.
What,
I know.
I'm afraid we're coming down with Alzheimer's.
No,
it scares me to death.
Yeah, my wife has been concerned about Alzheimer's because one of her good friends, who is we considered a faithful woman,
Christian woman,
and
she went down real fast. The doctor's just still. I don't want to live like that.
But ladies, if we need something to increase our faith. We don't know what we're missing. I know that we need to get off the medication because the psychotropic medication for mental illness it does fog the mind a little bit. But this has been terrible this last week. I'm glad we can't avoid, you know, the things we need. Eventually we get them done. But we need prayer for our memory and whatever it is that God has got us looking to, moving toward to get free from. I pray to God will increase my faith and my wife's faith so we can put aside whatever is next in line or whatever we have need of doing to grow in grace.
Amen. Well, we can pray. And, as far as getting off the medication, that's got to be by faith. And you got to be led to the Lord of that, you know, as far as that. So don't get into works. Just it's got to be faith and grace first. So, Father, right now we just lift up Wade and Jeanette, and we just break that curse of Alzheimer's or the fear of Alzheimer's or whatever the enemy has put on them, and we just rebuke that curse right now in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we just pray right now that we know that they've got the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ is not forgetful. And we just claim that right now by faith that they've got total memory, and we just stand in faith with them, and we just rebuke whatever is coming against their, you know, their mind or any distractions. We rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus, and we forbid it to distract their mind. We come against any mind control or witchcraft or any demonic forces that are attacking their minds. And Father, they're asking for to build their faith during this walk, that they want to be led of you. They want to walk, you know, the path of faith. And Lord, your word says is they don't have because they don't ask, and they're asking right now, Lord. So Father, we ask right now that you just fill them full of your faith. And we just rebuke fear off them now in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord, for growing them in their faith. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for doing that.
Amen.
Wade and Tim, I just wanted to say I didn't want to come across as being condemning on those who are using drugs or needing to use, you know. It's a step. It's a progress, you know. So.
Right.
We didn't even notice it.
Okay,
you know,
praise God.
No, I didn't either. It's more the lack of faith in the body is really, you know, which was on your heart, where they're just, you know, they're looking at that. They're looking at the drugs instead of Christ, right?
It's just an ignorance.
Yeah.
That it even is demons.
And they don't, you know, they don't understand spiritual warfare. They're,
right.
You know, right? I mean, they have no idea this is demons. They just think it's, you know, mental illness.
Right, everything's physical.
And, right, it's got a name for it. Let's give that demon a name, mental illness, and we'll get them on drugs and get them sedated to oblivion.
Yeah, we're aware that it's a battle, a spiritual battle, and that there's something good for us that God is going to bring out of it when our faith is complete.
I don't like taking this medicine anymore. I really don't. It's like stubbornness.
My wife is a little down tonight.
Well, smile. Get up and dance a jig, praise God. I'll tell you what. Y'all get up and dance around the room and praise the Lord. I'm telling you the truth, because he's the one that's going to set you free, glory to God. I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm just going to praise the Lord.
We miss praise and worship. We have to praise and worship behind the computer. You know, we don't have any praise and worship music or know who to praise and worship with, and that's something we missed from the church days.
Yeah. Well, you got each other. And you got some lips, and you got a tongue, and you got a voice box. Bless God.
Terrible.
Go ahead and do it. That's what I do, Wade. I'm telling you the truth, man. I'm liable to wake up 3:00 in the morning, get up here and put these headphones on. Now, I don't know if I wake David up or not. Don't make no never mind. I'm going to go ahead and praise God. That's just, you know, and that's just me. I'm not saying that's what you need to do, but you do need to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for your healing. Always thank him for your healing. That's what he loves. He loves for you to thank him. Even though you can't see it with your eyeball, you can always. Oh, glory to God.
Hey. Is that you, Michael Hare?
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me play this, Michael.
All right. Here, I'll mute him.
Okay. Well, where's Michael?
Oh, I muted him. He was being a distraction.
I really wanted to know if that was the song he was singing.
Hey, Michael, is that the song?
No, he's on the phone.
Yeah, he must be on the phone. I could see him with those earphones on just singing away at 3 a.m. So, amen. All right, anybody else need prayer or want to pray for somebody?
Hey, Dad, I need some prayer. Well, Paul does.
Okay.
He texted me earlier. He's work is kind of going crazy for him right now. They're doing different shifts, deciding on what to do, if they're doing 12-hour shifts or what. And it looks like he says, pray for me. I'm already getting upset with people here, the whole voting about work schedule. So I prayed for him earlier with Mary, but I'd like everybody to keep him in prayer too, or keep all of us in prayer, because it looks like it's going towards 12-hour shift for him. He says that he's going to be, he says, I'm going to be getting 5 days every 2 weeks off and getting paid holidays, but it's going to be 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. So just prayer for, you know, whatever is going to happen. It's just going to be in the Lord's hands and nobody else's hands, that the Lord is just going to allow what's supposed to happen.
Okay. So, Father, right now we just lift up Paul, Lord, and we just ask, Lord, we just ask you to put a peace in him right now, and we just come against any anger or frustration as far as with the coworkers or over this scheduling. And, Lord, we just, you're sovereign, and we just ask, Lord, that you just give him favor in this situation, and just guide and direct him, just draw him to you, Lord, and not into his flesh. And we just ask you just work in him, Lord, to, just to be well-pleasing to you, and to, you know, to just get in the rest and know that, you know, all things come, you know, because of you. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And if he has to go to 12 hours, we ask you just give him strength and you know, just to be able to, you know, to get through this time. And we just ask you to make the time short, Lord. So we just thank you for that. We just thank you for just your peace over him now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dan.
Amen.
I want to pray. Let me pray. And Father, I just thank you for giving Kiana peace. She knows that you're sovereign and that you've got it under control. And we thank you, Lord, that she's going to stand strong in that. And Lord, we ask a favor for Paul with management over these situations. Father, you've given him a peaceable spirit deep inside. And I pray that he grabs a hold of that and he stays calm and he gets his eyes on you. And we just thank you that you're working all of this out to our good. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Mom.
All right.
Amen.
Hey, Malcolm.
I'm sorry, my mic is too far for Mike to hear. I was just wondering, did you hear that song I was trying to play on the piano there?
No, I was talking to a guy that...
Okay.
But anyway, go ahead.
You want to do an encore?
Yeah, let me just... I just came to praise the Lord. Is that the song?
That's it, by the Imperials.
I love it. It's a little rocky, but it's great. I just have fun with that piece.
That's been sliding around. That's been sliding around in my brain for, I don't know, about a month now.
Oh, I love it, Michael.
Yeah, I do too. That's a good song. I asked people around in the prayer group. I said, y'all ever heard of this song?
Yeah.
No. Well, it came out in 1972, maybe.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, the Imperials. You remember the rock group, the Imperials?
No. Well, yeah, I've heard of them. Yeah, I heard of them.
Yeah. Yeah, they were, actually, they came out of gospel,
huh.
You know, like a lot of the black singers did. And they did a lot of Christian songs, but that was one of their hits as far as gospel goes.
I like it because it's simple and
yeah.
The Lord and, you know.
Yeah, I do too. Sorry, Tim.
There's nothing to be sorry about. This is everybody's night here. So, all right, anybody else want to pray or have somebody want to pray for or need prayer? All right. What about Michael, do you want to cover Tuesday night?
Yeah, I can kind of go over what happened the other night and what has happened since then. Without having to say a whole lot, we're going, it looks like, you know, out of 2 years, possibly a little more than that we've been doing this, I can't remember muting anybody because of wrong teaching. Because most of the times, everybody knows that if it doesn't go along with the scriptures, we don't allow anyone to teach unless you've studied the material on the website and understand the spiritual aspects of the Bible studies and the doctrines, the biblical doctrines that we follow. Our doctrine is that which we heard from the beginning, you know, that was written in the scriptures. And we also know that if we add to the word with modern traditional doctrines that some people have in the apostate church, that we're going to fall under the curse. And we don't want that. And so when that happened the other night, I just muted her and then tried to explain to her that we're not going to have that sort of stuff going on. It was an interruption that was not necessary because she apparently didn't understand what this was. She thought this was a chat room, and it's not a chat room. This is a fellowship. We have the same protocol. We have the same discipline as a church. As a body of believers should have, you know, we have an order, and that order is biblically adhered to. And when someone gets out of line, grossly out of line, we allow a lot of latitude in this fellowship because it's there are some new believers in and some people that are learning, and we are weak to the weak, and we allow that. But as far as teaching goes, if you're not familiar with the UBM and the studies that the Lord has shown David over the last 40-something years, then we don't allow teaching. Now, we have a few people that we have known for over the years, and we trust them, that we do allow them to share what God has put on their hearts. And I know almost every one of y'all understand what I'm talking about, but I'm just going to try to make something clear here so that there's no misunderstanding, and that we can all come together and fellowship and have a good time without what happened the other night. I can tell you this much. She had already been on some factious sites and had written me an email afterwards, and I'm not going to say what she said, but it wasn't good. We're not going to have to. She's not coming back on the site anyway. So that's that. Now, Tim and I had talked about some things yesterday, and one thing that I will ask everyone to do, and this is going to have to be a must, okay? And I'm not trying to put anybody under a law or anything, and I know we forget to do things at times, but everyone must mute their phones when you're not speaking on the conference call. And if you don't know how to mute your phone, we'll mute it for you, but you have to tell us to. Okay, here's something else that we need to try to do it. I know sometimes we get caught up in the moment and we don't do this, but if we could just ask permission to speak before you speak, you know, that would help Tim and I out greatly. I'm not saying that's something that needs to be done every time, but that's something we need to keep in the back of our minds anyway. One other thing, we leave a lot of latitude in this, and that's 1 Timothy 2:11. It says, "Let a woman learn in quietness with all subjection, but I permit not a woman to teach nor to have dominion over a man, but to be in quietness." Now, our God gave us this in the new covenant. It's not me, it's not David, it's not Tim, it's not anyone else but the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means submission to man. Anything a woman speaks to a man that he does not already know could be construed as teaching. Now, I'm reading this out of that Women, Word, and Authority. Anything a woman speaks to a man that he does not already know could be construed as teaching. But, listen, I said but, we could not possibly interpret this so broadly. Okay? A woman can witness to a lost man what God did for her, and we can't forbid that. That we can't forbid something that the scriptures don't forbid. The scriptures don't forbid that. And on the other hand, the woman is forbidden to hold the office of an evangelist or any other fivefold ministry office of the church. There has been a fine line in the past where women sometimes thinking they're helping somebody, but they take the position of, I want to teach you what I know. And that's kind of on a fine line there. We've allowed it somewhat, but just bear that in mind and try to, let's keep this as lawless as possible. I don't want to put us in under any kind of a law or anything like that. I want it to be just as free as it has been in the past. One other thing that I do ask, and that's that any time that you have a testimony, or any time that you have a praise report, or any time that you want to share something, have your thoughts written down. Have the avenue that you're going to go with it put out in a way that's very succinct, and we understand what you're doing and where you're going, and don't get off on a bunch of rabbit trails that kind of distract from what's going on, and then nobody gets to understand what's going on with the testimony. So having said that, that's really all I wanted to say. Mute your phones, generally speaking, before you say anything. Make sure your phone is muted before you say something to your wife or your husband.
Right. Well, for anybody who wasn't in the room, really what happened was, is, you know, Kim came in the week or the day before, the, I don't know, the time before, and she was new in the Lord, and we're all excited when somebody new in the Lord, you know, finds the ministry, and, you know, even when, for Mika, I mean, when she, you know, she came in, you know, and, you know, a month later she's set free. And I mean, it's just, I mean, it just brings joy when you see somebody come into the fullness of the truth and the Lord works in them and they get freed up. So in this morning, I got up and the first scripture I looked at was 1 Timothy 2:24. And it says, "And the Lord's servant must not strive, but be gentle towards all, apt to teach, forbearing, in meekness, correcting them that oppose themselves, if peradventure God may give them repentance unto the knowledge of truth." And really what I was seeing is that what happened was is that we had actually two new people in the room, her and somebody else, and both of them didn't have their phones muted. And what was happening is that, you know, this Kim was kind of jumping in on, you know, everything, which we want to give people grace and, you know, especially when they're new and, you know, we want to, you know, you know, help them come into the fullness, you know, cause she shared a little bit of her testimony and it was, I mean, she came from a rough background. And she'd been hurt by the, you know, by people. She'd been hurt by the world, and you know, there was abuse there and some things there, and you know, she was probably under condemnation and fell into unforgiveness. And you know, I'd recommended to her to, you know, search her heart towards unforgiveness, and Michael had sent her, you know, some books, you know, Sovereign God and the Curse of Unforgiveness. And she said she read the Curse of Unforgiveness, and it sounded like she saw some things there and she was getting delivered and you know, which is all good. I mean, that's really what we want to do as a ministry, is just bring people into the truth and get them set free and out of bondage. And, you know, it sounded like she was coming out of the church and a few things like that. And it was all exciting, but through what we were trying to do is be weak to the weak. Their phones weren't muted. And, we were just kind of, you know, we just kind of let it go. And then, what happened was, is when she did try to teach, you know, Michael muted her, because her, you know, her doctrine was a little off, and the Lord, you know, showed me that a spirit of offense jumped in there. And then later on in the evening, another, you know, new person in the room didn't have their, you know, phone muted. They were brand new that night, and they made a comment about her, and that just fueled the fire as far as that. So, you know, because we were trying to be weak to the weak and just, you know, just, that's, you know, basically what had happened. So,
well, let me interject something here also. I got an email from her after that, that she blasted David, and David wasn't even on the conference call. So that tells me she's, gotten onto those factious sites and, has been targeted.
Well, doesn't everybody blame David, Michael?
Yeah, in the faction they do. But anyway, we probably need to pray for her.
Yeah, we need to definitely do that. And because when we try to correct people and bring them in line with God's words, you know, our only hope is that God will grant them repentance, you know, onto the knowledge of truth. And, you know, really trying to convince them or anything like that typically doesn't work. You know, God must give them grace to repent and believe, you know, the truth. You know, if there's going to be any success to bring him to the truth. And, you know, so really let's pray for her. And, you know, so Father, right now, we just come to you for Kim, Lord. We know that you're working in her, Lord, and you led her to this ministry. And, Lord, we just pray that you will grant her repentance, because right now offense is unforgiveness. And, you know, the railing and the things that, you know, she is caught in is just, you know, she's caught in the, you know, the trap of the enemy. You know, she fell into the trap. And Lord, we just pray for your grace and mercy on her, Lord, that you will just grant her a change of mind, that you will just show her any error of her ways, show her anything that's just unpleasing to you, Lord. And Father God, we just pray for her true salvation, Lord. She is a you know, person that's been hurt by the world, bruised by the world, and you're trying to pull her out. And, you know, we just ask, Lord, that you just tear down the walls and, you know, allow her to, you know, just, you know, grant her, you know, forgiveness, that she can forgive and get free of the bondage that she's in. And Lord, we just thank you for that, Lord. We just ask you bless her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You want to pray anything else, Michael?
No, that's covered, pretty well covers it. Lord, we just ask that you bless her with repentance in Jesus' name, and her husband as well.
Amen. Yeah, that 2 Timothy 2:26 ends with, "And they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him unto his will." And so just as God puts, you know, a desire to will and serve him in our hearts, I mean, we just got to pray that for her, and he can do it in them, just like, you know, he's done in us as far as that. So, Father, we just thank you for just putting your will in her, Lord, and granting that to her. And we just thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Tim, this is Malcolm.
Hey, Malcolm.
Just asking permission to speak.
Oh, no.
No, well, you know, now Michael's probably familiar with this too, but in amateur radio, they have, you know, like nets, they call them nets, and you'll have a net control, and then the way people get in is they'll say, you know, in a voice situation, they'll say break, and then they'll say go ahead, break, and then they give their call sign, you know, so everything's really orderly that way.
Right.
Anyway, this is such a unique medium. Do you mind if I just pray for the call in general?
No, that's fine.
Lord, I just pray that again for your protecting hand over this conference call. It's such a unique medium, and seems like it has many limitations. But Lord, you know all those limitations, and I pray that you work with this setup, with people's hearts, that you put things in people's hearts that are on the call, even listening later. I pray for some phenomenal miracles and words that go forth that maybe people don't even realize what they're saying will be of you, and that will touch somebody's heart, even if they're not listening in real time, but listening to the recording. And I just pray, Lord, that for your protection against the enemy wanting to use vessels of, well, just to kind of disrupt things, and not that different situations or people are intentionally trying to disrupt things, but Lord, I just pray that you will, that your Holy Spirit, there will be a grace. I pray for a humility, and I pray for weeping and people really having a heartfelt indication in your body, Lord, from one, like the hand to the arm and just the way your body works, Lord. I just pray for your grace here. And I thank you for allowing all the things that you allow here, and I just thank you that you're above all and you're in charge of everything. In Jesus' name, I just thank you.
Amen. Yeah, I think Michael, you know, feels the same way. I mean, really, this room, this, you know, what we have here is really for you guys. And, you know, we're just in here to try to, you know, just keep order and, you know, just make sure things are scriptural and stuff like that. And I love the format, and it's not like you have to ask permission. It's just proper etiquette is, you know, when somebody else is talking, not to jump in. You know, when everybody's done, we typically will ask, does anybody want to pray or anybody have a testimony or, you know, and then you guys can come in and then we'll sort out, you know, whoever, you know, we see, you know, calls first in that. I mean, under the old system, you had to raise a hand and it's just like, I love what we have here. It's just a matter of just having respect for others and is really what it comes down to. And, you know, the muting of the phone, I mean, you know, we've had all kinds of things going on, the dog, you know, dogs barking and, you know, printers going off and people snoring and, and, you know, it's just some of that stuff happens. We just have to get in the habit. And I think, you know, Michael and I have to get in the habit of anybody new coming in, you know, just explaining the, you know, as far as muting the phones and stuff like that, you know, we just, you know, that's really, you know, what it is. And typically, you know, our format is, you know, as far as just, you know, covering prayer, if anybody needs prayer, and just sharing testimonies of what God has done. And, you know, as far as sharing revelations, I mean, if God shows you something, if you're reading the Word, and this goes for women too, if God shows you something in the Word and it's a, you know, it changed you or did something in you and you want to share that, you know, if it's a testimony, you know, or if God showed you some revelation when you're reading the Word, I mean, we don't want to get stringent or anything like that. We just want to be orderly, and we just, you know, when, you know, it comes to women, it's just, you can share testimonies, but it's just a matter of teaching. And sometimes, you know, when we get into, you know, what happens is that, you know, I can relate to Linda, or not Linda, Kim. You know, she came from a, you know, a rough background, and, you know, there's probably rejection there and a few things. And you just, when you learn something, you want to be able to, you know, share it because it's, you know, it's just, you know, it's, you know, it's something, you know, that somebody else doesn't know. So it kind of, you know, might lift you up or, but there's a little bit of pride there and stuff like that. But if you're not really under the understanding, you know, that, you know, women are not to teach, it's, you know, if it's brought forth, and you, you know, you get offended, I mean, then that there's a spirit behind that. And that's not an open, humble spirit. And that spirit of offense will, you know, it's just, you know, it's just rejection. It's just unforgiveness. And, you know, it's just a ploy of the enemy, because I know that the Lord's, you know, the Lord is sovereign. He sent her in here. He sent us all. He brought us all here. And, but if we're not humble, and we don't have a teachable spirit, or if we think that what we, you know is, you know, we got to bring that forth and stuff like that, it's, you know, it can be dangerous, you know. The other thing is that, you know, there was recommendations on books, you know, she was recommending books and stuff like that. And we got to be real careful as far as on, you know, recommending books or, you know, reading books, because books are like prophecy. I mean, there can be truth there, but there can be a lot of man in there. And, you know, a lot of these authors are, you know, their legacy is, you know, how many books they write or how many books they sell. And, you know, the more they're pleasing to the flesh or the more they, you know, have a new twist or whatever it is. I mean, the Lord was showing, I was praying this morning and Lord showed me that, you know, he just gives me word pictures every once in a while, but he was showing that, you know, there's millions of cookbooks out there and most of them have a recipe for meatloaf and, and it's just, and they change every little thing that's in that meatloaf, but really it's just, you know, God wants us just to have the meat, you know, but man wants to add the, you know, the bread, you know, with the leaven in it and wants to add the spices and wants to drizzle the ketchup on top or whatever it is to make it pleasing to the, you know, to the palate or pleasing to the eye. And so man starts, you know, adding all these things into the recipe. And, God just wants us, you know, eating the meat, you know, not all the other things, but all the other things that we put in there are pleasing to the flesh. So I think that, you know, we got to be careful because, you know, as far as with, I don't know, I just see it. Just, we just got to be careful. Some of the books that, might be recommended or something like that. We just cause it's said on this, you know, conference call, you gotta, you know, cause I, you know, you just gotta be careful is all I'm, my other concern was as far as that. So.
Can I give a, for instance?
You can give a, for instance.
Okay. Well, what you're talking about, Tim, is very good, and I appreciate what you're saying there. For instance, I had read this book, Angels on Assignment by Roland Buck. And in that book, I knew that by one sentence that Roland Buck believed in pre-tribulation rapture. But what I didn't understand is that there was another book that was written by his son that claimed that an angel told him that pre-tribulation rapture was right or something to that effect. And of course, I hadn't read that part. I hadn't read that book yet. And so what happened was that one deal there just kind of destroyed Roland Buck's testimony because of the error that his son had spewed forth on that book. And now, everybody's going to read those books because that one particular deal. And that's why we have to be very discerning about what we read and what we talk about on, you know, even in like on the Wednesday night thing and Sunday night thing. If I talk about something and I don't understand the full ramifications of what's going, somebody needs to mute their phone.
Yeah, it's waiting. I'm muting.
Okay. But anyway, that's one instance where I guess I should have researched it more. I just didn't have time to read all the books that were about the angels and Roland Buck. But anyway, somebody had brought that to our attention. And, of course, we don't want to lead anybody down the primrose path of error at all. So anything that we say, you know, always check it out. Always check it out with the Word of God. That's the best way to do it. If you renew your mind with the Word of God, then you're going to catch error if there is any. Now, I didn't, to my knowledge, I didn't say anything that was in error, biblical doctrine. But if somebody read that other book and they got that, oh, that hair boy, he believes in pre-tribulation rapture. Well, no. But people, you know how people are. So we have to be very careful about what we put out.
Yeah, right.
This is Malcolm.
Go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, I just, like you've heard me talk about both Roland and Heidi Baker, which is, the son of the folks there in China. But I think that's who you're talking about. But, yeah, Roland, they've both been very heavy into the, and leaders in the false revival stuff. columnists, any of these authors, you can read stuff that's maybe slightly associated with them and then end up with some pretty horrendous stuff. So I think it's possible to warn people, but it's, in the end, people have to, the Lord has to be, you know, leading them and protecting them.
Did you say that Roland Buck was in the false revival?
No, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. You know, I just got mixed up. I was thinking of the orphanage in. I'm really apologize. I was confusing Roland Buck's. I mean the book you were talking, Angels of Assignment, with the orphanage there in China.
Oh no.
You know the baker.
Yeah, H.A. Baker.
Yeah, and there's certainly, you start looking, I mean, H.A. Baker's testimony is just, I mean, that's an incredible book. And then you look at his son and Heidi, and oh my goodness, you know, that's what I was saying.
Oh, I see, yeah.
But I guess it's a similar situation, really, because Roland and Heidi are, that's what I was talking about. They're not the other folks. But you can kind of see how, I mean, I read Heidi's early testimony, and it really was incredible to me, but things can go wrong, and we just have to be discerning.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really what it comes down to, is you've got to be discerning, but my concern is if you got a, you know, someone who's a babe in the Lord, and, you know, they pick up a book, and there's some unscriptural things in there that we might see through, they might not see through them. And, you know, and I think that, you know, as far as, you know, David's heart, I mean, I don't know about Sovereign God, but all his books were just from transcripts that were from Bible studies, just him sitting around talking the word. And people transcribed them and, you know, put them into book form just to get it in the hands of other people. And it, and the intent was always to be able to just, you know, get that information out there. It's freely on the internet. I mean, they've print them up and sent them out freely in the past. It's just been, you know, there's no, you know, most authors are looking at making money. And, you know, a paperback that you buy for, you know, $8-$10 costs, you know, about $1.50 to $2 a piece to print. And, you know, so that's, I mean, it's about, you know, for most authors is, you know, is a form of making money. So, and with, you know, with this ministry, I mean, everything has been, you know, there's no charge for anything. And everything has really just been from the Bible study saying, you know, we need to get this in print, and, you know, if the internet ever goes down, or, you know, just have an avenue to get this truth out. And, but, you know,
there's a number of people that are working very hard and long hours a day doing these transcriptions and editing of these books.
And there's people, you know, they're transcribing them into other languages, like, you know, it's just, and they're all freely doing that. So it's awesome. It's really the true, you know, it's not, you know, a marketing plan or, you know, anything like that. It's just trying to get the truth out, and so people can get, you know, get freed up. So, yeah, so that's just, cause there's been, you know, a few books, and I've read them, and, you know, or gotten them, and, you know, there's been some error in them, and I'm just, my heart just kind of goes out to, you know, anybody that might get trapped into that. And I walked into a Christian bookstore one day. I hadn't been in one in a while, and my boys needed some waterproof pocket Bibles for camp. And I walked into this mega store, and I just could not believe the amount of books in there. And most of those are all fables, but we only really need one book. You know, the stuff that David writes has really just challenged me to get into the Word and search it out myself. And then, you know, it's a lot of testimonies and stuff like that in there, but you know, we really just need the Holy Spirit to teach us. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Let me say something here. Don't anybody get scared about what we're talking about now and get into fear about not wanting to talk on this conference call. Everything's the same as it was. We just want to lay out those things that make you aware of it.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
Yes. Hey, Trish.
Hey. I'm not afraid. Hey.
Whoa. Go
maybe
ahead, Trish.
Maybe I should be. I just wanted to share that there might have been some error in the author of that book on angels, but when you were talking about it and doing Bible study on it, and after listening to Tom Kruger's testimony on the angels, it just really, I was just sharing with him today or yesterday, how it just, it made it very real to me, because I kind of just avoided the topic of angels, not negatively. I just never thought about the ministering angels that were there for us. I mean, I knew it, but I guess I just hadn't acknowledged it. So I was, it just really opened an avenue, a different perspective for me on all of that. But, yeah, we have to be really, wise and throw out the stuff that's not lining up with the scripture. But it was really good.
Amen. Oh, I thought it was good as well, and that's why I brought it out in that Bible study. But like Tim and I both have talked about, somebody else might get the other book and think, well, this is what they all believe, you know, and it just gets all kind of misconstrued. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Amen. Well, let's just, I mean, as far as, so the bottom line is as far as with this conference call, I mean, it's really for everybody, you know, prayer, testimonies, revelations, what's God showing you, what is on your heart? You know, if he shows you something in the word or something by faith, if you get dream or a vision, if he's, you know, the Lord speaks to you. I mean, even if you read something like, you know, Michael shared or something like that, I've shared stuff out of the Voice of the Martyrs, or, you know, last time was, you know, the jihadist that, was converted to Christianity, you know, testimonies like that. I mean, just builds all our faith. And so if you read something and, you know, you want to share that, you know, if you have any concerns, just ask Michael or myself. But, you know, we just want to, I mean, just use this as a tool to just, you know, glorify God and build each other's faith and, you know, just have a time of fellowship, because the world's pretty ugly out there, and it's really hard to find, you know, believers in the same truth, in the same accord. And this is a time we can come together and just, be with each other, pray for each other, and believe with each other. Amen. We don't want to get all stuffy and formal or anything like that, you know?
No. No, we don't. When I said we ask permission, I think everybody on here understands what I'm talking about. We don't need to interrupt somebody just to go ahead and say what we want to say. That's what I'm talking about. And that's not generally what we do in this room, and everybody knows that. So that's what I was trying to do.
Amen. And the, you know, the thing that, I mean, Trish and I were talking about today is, you know, the devil would love for everyone to be a teacher. And, you know, especially those that don't have the fullness of truth. And it's, you know, we gotta, you know, the word says that, you know, that the teachers be few, but, you know. And I've got the fear of the Lord even when I bring anything forth, because I just don't want to put anybody into error or anything like that, you know. So I look at Michael or, you know, anybody else to, you know, keep me in balance as far as that. So, you know, that's what the body is for. So, you know, but we just, you know, this is, you know, everybody's room, and, you know, we just want everybody to, you know, to be blessed by it. So, All right. Hey, Malcolm.
Yeah, this is Malcolm again. I feel like I'm monopolizing.
No, you're all right.
But this is probably, hopefully, my last.
If you're not, Michael will meet you.
Okay. Right.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you what, I'm going to do this.
Well, that was one question I had was, has anybody figured out how we can mute ourselves using some dial tones or something? But I assume that you haven't figured that out, or nobody knows that yet.
No, I didn't. I'll make a big note to Kevin's.
Okay.
Kevin's the guru on that one. So
Okay. Can
we mute ourselves?
Well,
I know we can mute you, and then you guys can unmute yourself.
Yeah, whenever I play the piano and I don't have the mute button on, please do. That's really rude. That means I'm not listening very well. But actually, no, you can play tunes quietly and listen at the same time if your headset's good. What I wanted to say was like a little short happy story. I think we do need to protect people when we talk about new books or new, you know, things that could lead in different directions possibly. But the way I came to UBM, not that UBM has a membership, but which it doesn't.
No.
But I mean, I haven't sat on any dotted lines for any doctrinal statements or creeds or anything else. But anyway, when I first heard about UBM, it was through Andrew Strome and Matthew Stevens, one of his many names. And I don't know if any of you remember him, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, I was listening to everything I could possibly, you know, everywhere where Matthew Stevens went and spoke, I'd listen to all those radio programs, and I was starting to call my relatives, telling them about the, you know, the nuclear bomb going off in San Diego, and, you know, all the stuff that tends to tarnish your reputation over time. So, but the thing is, I settled out through all the, and I went, had some contact with the False Revival movement, but I still ended up at UBM, kind of hanging out there more and more. So I think the Lord can protect people and hold, you know, hold them. And I'm not saying I'm above. I have plenty of people that tell me that UBM is a very dangerous place to be. So, but I'm just saying I think the Lord can protect people, but I do think we need to do what we can to protect them from, you know, rabbit trails that you can get into when you read some of these things. But that's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Well, the Lord, I mean, honestly, the Lord can use anything to, you know, bring us into the kingdom or to speak to us. And it doesn't necessarily have to be scriptural. When we've got nothing, no wisdom or anything like that. I mean, the Lord used this present darkness by, you know, Frank Peretti to really bring Trish into the, you know, the truth, or you know, seeking the kingdom, because, you know, he's, you know, talking about spiritual warfare and stuff like that, and, you know, and I don't, you know, think a lot of his stuff is totally, you know, lined up, but he can use those type of things. But we just have to be careful when we're recommending stuff, and you know, from that standpoint.
You know, Tim, I don't know how many people I have heard and talked with that the late great Planet Earth brought them to Jesus. You know, the fear that they had of that book, of what happened in that book, brought them to Christ. Now, you know, after a while, some of us came to a better understanding of what's going to happen, you know. Even terrible things are going to happen, but it's not going to be in the same sequence that they say it's going to happen, that Hal Lindsey said it was going to happen. But God used that book, and the theme of that book, which is God's tribulation is coming to earth, to put a fear of God in people, and they would, you know, turn to Jesus. That's a, you know, and that book is completely full of errors.
Amen. Well, I mean, we were, you know, around the I mean, we were totally tied into the, you know, shortwave and all the controversies and all that stuff, and the Lord used that. I mean, he actually used the Prophecy Club, because that was part of the shortwave at the time, where we accidentally downloaded David. And when Trish listened to that, you know, it was like, I came home, she says, you got to hear this. This guy is answering a lot of our questions, you know? So, I mean, he can use any avenue and to lead us where he wants to lead us. It's just, are we willing to follow, you know? So, and then the enemy is going to do everything it can to, you know, distract us from that truth, or bring a spirit of offense, or whatever it is, to try to, you know, to distract us from, you know, where God's trying to lead us. So it's definitely a spiritual battle out there. All right. Anybody else have anything on their heart? How about testimonies? Anybody have a testimony?
Y'all don't get locked up in the law now.
Yeah, really.
I got my hand raised. Are y'all ignoring me? I got my hand raised. Come on, somebody call on me. Anyway, what I'd like you to do for, see, because there's a lot of us out here, and the reason I know is because I'm the worst one, that, you know, we're trying our best to learn the truth of words, God's word and all. And that's why we've came to UBM, because the Lord led us to UBM. And most of us will admit that since we've been with UBM, our eyes have been opened so much in just a short period of time compared to the 13, 14, 15 years in the worldly church and all. But anyway, Michael, if you would, for some of, explain what you would define as evangelism. And yes, Michael, these are real dogs you're hearing tonight.
Well, an evangelist is part of the fivefold ministry. And as far as evangelizing, you're talking about women?
No, just what his purpose, his job, what he does.
Oh, an evangelist brings people to Jesus. He shows people Jesus, and he also has, as you know, the Baptists are good evangelists. They always talk about, and they try to coerce people into signing these agreements or agreeing with them that Jesus is their personal savior now and all that kind of mess. But a true evangelist knows and is led by the Holy Spirit to lead people to Jesus by signs and wonders, also by the Word of God, preaching and teaching the Word of God. And that's how they do it. And you don't do it in the churches. That's not in the churches. You understand that? It's on the streets. It's in the back alleys. It's in the jails. It's in the prisons. It's in the homeless shelters. It's in those types of places that you'll find true evangelists. You won't find true evangelists in a church. Why would you want to go evangelize a church? You know, I'm talking true church. And that's what you see in the churches every Sunday. How many evangelistic messages are brought forth in the pulpit, when in fact they need to be out there underneath the bridge where those homeless people are, sharing the gospel with them? That's what an evangelist is, somebody that's out there in the highways and byways and the hedges, as the word says, bringing people to Jesus, showing them the love of Jesus. I can tell you what I've done. Most of my life has been dealing with the homeless, dealing with the prisoners, dealing with the downtrodden. I found out real early on that middle class and upper middle class people won't listen to the gospel message. I found out it takes people who are having a hard time, who are looking for help, you know. That's where you get your that's where you get the most fruit, is from those people. Remember what Jesus said. He talked about it as well. So that's what an evangelist is. It's not somebody sits up there in the pulpit and gives an evangelistic message to thousands and thousands and thousands that are already saved. It's somebody out there on the streets messing with the dirty, the downtrodden, the poor. Did that answer your question, Slade?
Well, okay. I don't want to take up much time. But you're saying a woman shouldn't evangelize? Is that?
No.
But isn't that what you said earlier? The reason I'm asking is for my knowledge, so I can get it straight. And this is the reason I ask that.
Okay.
I know women that go up to people on the streets and show, you know, the love of Christ. And they tell them what Christ has done for them, you know, people that, like you said, had been through hard times and all, really on bottom, you know, down in the miry clay, looking up to the Lord finally, and how the Lord saved them and all. And they say, that isn't evangelizing.
Well, any time that a person, whether it be a woman or a man, gives their testimony, that's just giving your testimony, and that brings people to Christ. I'm telling you, it does.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And women are welcome to do that. Absolutely. They are. That's what I talked about earlier, is that women can do that. Who am I to tell a woman not to give her testimony to a lost man so that he could see the light? Yeah, absolutely. But as far as going out and teaching the word, But as far as giving her testimony and sharing with people the light, But it's not an office that women can have. It's just
right. Now I'm not trying to confuse anybody or anything. I'm just trying to get this straight in my mind.
Okay.
But if a woman, you know, gives a testimony out on the streets to somebody, telling them what the Lord did for them, and then she gives them scripture out of the Bible, because, you know, these people, a lot of times you say, here, you know, well, where's that at in the Bible? And this, and they'll say, it's okay for them to give them scripture. I just don't want women to put, I understand about the teaching and preaching and all, not to be head over the man and all that. I've gone through David's, all his studies on mm-hmm. women, word, and authority, and all those and everything. But I don't want women to feel like that I don't want them to feel like they're suppressed where they can't speak or anything. Are they allowed? They're allowed to pray, speaking tongues. Are they allowed to teach children's classes? Or is that not? That's what
they are allowed to teach the younger, immature Christian women and the children.
Okay. Well, I think that about sums it up for me. But I appreciate it, okay?
Okay.
All right, hands down, see y'all in a little bit.
Here's the kicker, though. Women are not to take authority over men in any respect, whether it be a political office, whether it be a business.
Boy, I wish you had told a few of my ex-wives that.
Well, it's the word's pretty clear on it. Pretty clear on that, and like we said, we allow a lot of latitude in this fellowship because this is a unique fellowship that we have here, and we love each other, and we understand where everybody's coming from, and so.
Yeah, it's really more the authority over a man than anything else. I mean, it's just, that's what I'm seeing is as far as sharing testimony and what God has shown you and a scripture that's brought you to truth or something like that. As long as it's in a testimony, dreams, visions, all that. It's just a matter of teaching is really what it comes down to. And,
Yeah, may I raise my hand again? I thought I was out.
No, it's you guys, this is, I mean, if you got something on your heart, we want it brought forth.
No,
don't think you're taking up time or anything like that.
Just,
it's not a big deal.
My quota meter is almost pegged here. That's just my feeling. Anyway, but I was just thinking about, you know, there's the fivefold, you know, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, pastor, that's probably a missed one there. But I think everybody, there's going to be a time when they're going to evangelize, any believer can heal, and any believer can speak in tongues, any believer can do all these different things, and they do those things, but just because somebody is out on the street and doing the work of an evangelist doesn't make them an evangelist. That's different, because it's a special focus for that person. And their gifts, too. There's like the gift of healing, but just because somebody doesn't have the gift of healing doesn't mean they don't go out and heal a whole bunch of people. I mean, that's supposed to be normal among God's disciples. So, but there's a special gift. You see what I'm saying?
Well, all the gifts are available to everybody. That's
yeah.
The nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are available to men and women together. It's just that women cannot take be in the fivefold ministry. That's all.
It's just the office, the governmental office.
Yeah, the governmental office.
Right. It's not that they don't receive the gift or, you know, anything like that. It's just it's really the office.
And I know women who I've seen that had a good, great healing power, had great faith, and God used them mightily. So no, they can do that. Women can lay hands on people to get them healed. Praise God. If the Lord leads you to do that, get out of the way, because they're getting healed. Glory to God.
Hey, Michael. Maybe
yes.
You could just elaborate on what authority means. Maybe that's the key factor there.
When you have somebody like Joyce Myers out there. Joyce Myers, any of the women preachers, that's forbidden in the Bible. Women preachers take authority over men in the churches. Remember what Jesus said in that the Lord said in Isaiah. I forget which one it is. Let me look here right quick. In Isaiah, about churches have gone silly because the women have taken over the pulpit. You know, taken over the churches. But anyway. If you know anything about the history of the United States, you can see what I'm talking about. At World War II, during World War II, the women had to go to work in the factories because the men were off fighting a war. But then when the man came back, they didn't want to give up their jobs and let the man take his rightful position in the family. And then you started having TV picturing the man as a stumbling boob all the time, you know, always, and the wife as something that was real smart. And not that that doesn't happen, but it does. But I mean, it was just like that. And that turned the whole thing around. Now you've got CEOs of companies. You've got people in political offices, women in political offices that are just making a mockery of the Bible. And and that's what's happened. Here we are. What are we doing now? We've got, just like I talked about Tuesday night, you've got same-sex marriage is going to be a law across the land. They're going to make that a law. Why? Because the United States turned its back on the Lord. Well, it never did have most of it in the Lord anyway. But for the most part, you know, it was at least trying to be in ways. But as you can see, what has happened is the family community has just turned backwards. You've got people living together, not being married, and having children. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad or anything, but when I was growing up, that was a bad thing. Sex outside of marriage was a bad thing. A girl who got pregnant was a bad thing. You know, a lot of times they would move off to another town and have the baby or something and then give the baby up and then come back. You know, nobody knew what happened to them. And homosexuals, that was a bad thing back then. Every state back then had a law against homosexuality. Now it's just turned completely around, just the opposite. And I'm not saying that women are the cause of it. It was the law of the land. So women take authority. If you remember, who was beguiled? Was Adam beguiled? No, he knew what was going on. He was just going along with Eve, you know. But Eve was the one that was beguiled. She was the one that was deceived. And the Lord shows us that all through history, that the women are subject to being deceived, whereas the man can see. And he doesn't see with his heart, more or less. He sees more in the spirit. And women, not to say that women can't do that. They can. And don't misquote me here now. I don't want to get in somebody... Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I saw a sign up there that said disconnected from the server.
No, we can still hear you.
Okay. All right. Anyway, that's the authority of women over men is not permitted in the Bible. And I can quote you some of these, but you can go to the word women and authority and find the same ones. And it's a good Bible study. If you have some questions about it, it's a real good Bible study. David qualifies everything he says with the Word of God.
Michael?
Yes.
What about women leading a Bible study for adult women?
Well, I'd say that'd be fine as long as they're mature and they understand the Word of God. It would be better for a man, but if that's all they got, that's fine. He says, the word says, the word talks about the mature woman leading the younger women, teaching them the oracles of God or something to that effect. So I wouldn't have a problem with it, Marla. Has anybody else got any thoughts on that?
Could I say something?
Sure.
You know, it talks about the older women are to teach the young women how to love their husbands, how to be chaste at home, and these type of things. It actually lists what the women are to teach women.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, I don't know where the reference is. I'm sure that's on the, you know, that it's on the teachings. Which I thought was interesting because I had that question asked to me. Well, and I said, well, God tells us what we can teach, and it's to love our husbands, be chaste keepers at home, how to love our children. You know, there's a list.
Yeah, I'm looking for that scripture. I think I know where it is.
Good.
Man, y'all carry on while I'm looking.
Okay. All right. What else? I guess what's on your heart? Let's hear from. Is there any women out there have any? Because we don't want to. We're just trying to, you know, just get some order here. But I think that we can search out and see what you know, what the Lord wants us to. We just want to be in order with the Lord. As far as that, but I think the biggest thing is just, you know, women teaching men or having authority over men as far as that. So, all right, who else has got a thought on that?
This is Malcolm again.
Okay, Malcolm.
This is
again.
I come from a family that where the women have been, especially on my mother's side of the family and her mother. And pretty strong.
What happened, baby?
I'm gonna. That's for me. I'm gonna mute her. Okay, go ahead, Malcolm.
So anyway, but I mean, I know personally people right now who, if they heard this discussion, they would be absolutely infuriated.
Oh yeah.
I won't say who, but they're close relatives. But anyway, you know, they put out white papers on the topic, and they have meetings, and they're the denomination I came out of, they're a really hot topic is the ordination of women. And I've heard some pretty interesting discussions on it, which is kind of on the same line of what we're talking about tonight. But I can imagine a new person coming in on this conversation or maybe listening and being totally shocked and overwhelmed and disgusted. And what are those guys, you know? But the thing is, the reversal has been so severe, especially in, I don't know about previous history, but in the last 100 years or so, it's such an incredible reversal that to even start trying to straighten this situation out is a pretty hard sell. Unless the thing about the gospel or about following Jesus is so humble, and he displayed this humility, and you know, he said, you know, Isaiah 60 or 61, you know, describes him, a bruised reed he will not break. And I think for all God's people, as they humble themselves, there's less and less this tendency to assert or being willing to have other people put you in a position of authority, and more of a reluctance to go in that direction. And I think as people come closer to the Lord and humble themselves more and more, and it's back to the whole battle of itself, you know. It's and being offended and who's reigning on the throne of our heart. It's a deeper issue, I think, than just, you know, men versus women. It's everybody humbling themselves to each other.
And that's really what it is. It's all about, you know, humility. And, I mean, just everything that's infiltrated the church, that's why the church is so apostate, because the world has infiltrated the church. And if the word doesn't line up with what the world does, they start changing the doctrine to allow these things into the church so you won't offend anybody. And, you know, so it comes down to, you know, offending or, you know, being, you know, just trying to bring the world into the church is, you know, what I see as far as that.
Okay. I got it.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
Can I throw something in before you read that?
Yeah.
Well,
you may speak.
Thank you, sir. I think that, by coming and getting involved in the truth with UVM was freedom, liberty for me, because it was the truth. You can see it in the Word. And to be set free of that, gosh, to know that teaching isn't – I mean, I think most of the women in this conference call probably feel, with their own way of expressing it, feel very set free, because, well, we don't have to teach. We don't have to bring any of that to the – we don't have to do that. We don't have to know those things. We're freed up. We can just, you know, get right with the Lord and renew ourselves and, you know, walk in our truth and share that with our children, what God has done for us, and through the Word of what He's done with us and why, and the testimonies that we're living speaks volumes versus just throwing scriptures at somebody anyway. And when we came out of the church, Tim and I, that's, you know, they had us in a position where they didn't know the truth, and whoever was, you know, they had me in a deliverance class teaching, and I mean, I was just teaching other men's stuff. And when God got a hold of me, man, my heart, I was, the fear of God was all over me, the repentance. I mean, I was praying that the Lord would just kill anything I had ever said, and, you know, I was in the fear of the Lord to open my mouth with anything that was not ordained of Him to speak testimony of, you know. But, you know, at the same time, the enemy had messed my head up for a long time and said if I spoke anything, then I was teaching. And God, and through, you know, David's teachings and the truth, have come to realize that his testimony, Satan hates our testimony because we overcome him with these testimonies. And the word is what's giving us the testimony, walking in that word, walking in these truths. And going to the, you know, having these Wednesday Bible studies local and just getting that meat in us and being able to talk about it, not being intimidated to talk about what God is showing us in the revelation and how it applies to our lives. I mean, that's huge, and that's just, that's freedom and that's liberty. And I would think, I think it was Malcolm that was saying that maybe, you know, somebody might be concerned if they came on with that. I think if a woman on these conference calls really has embraced Christ, they don't have an issue with that. I really don't. But that's just my opinion. Bye.
Bye. Okay, here's what it says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. But speak thou the things which befit the sound doctrine, that aged women or mature women likewise be reverent in demeanor, not slanderers, nor enslaved to much wine, teachers of that which is good, that they may train the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sober-minded, chaste, workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Here's what David says, Marlon, about teaching doctrine. He said, older women in the Lord are called to teach the younger women things concerning the home, children, and right relationships to the husbands, but not doctrine. Christ, our husband, tells us that the only way we can love him is to keep his commandments, and so it is with the woman and her husband. In God's ideal society, the woman should be workers at home, not competing with men as the breadwinners, unless, of course, they are the only breadwinners. If the world would obey this, there would be many more jobs for men and far fewer homes that had no breadwinner at all. This would distribute the wealth more and have less people on welfare. The woman has authority under the husband and over the household and the children. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it says that David's talking about this, and he knows a whole lot more than I do, that they can teach them the right relationships to their husbands and to their children. Not doctrine.
Could I read it from the King James? That's the one I use mainly so I can check the...
Sure.
And it says, you know, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed.
Amen. Has anybody got any questions concerning this? I mean, at all?
Well, the only thing I was thinking of, Michael, is, you know, let's say a woman that's not married or a woman that, you know, doesn't have a believing husband, you know, to be ahead. You know, in that case, I know that, you know, Trish administers to some women that, you know, are single or whatever the situation is, but, you know, that's mainly testimony sharing what the Lord has done in her life and the truth that, you know, that the, you know, Lord has brought through her. You know, there, may be some, you know, scriptural references and stuff like that, but, you know, there might be a little, you know, question when it comes to that.
Well,
what's your thought on that?
Well, if you're just sharing, if they ask questions and you're sharing, you know, testimonies, and you're sharing the word with them, and when they get into doctrinal issues, it wouldn't be bad to just go ahead and say, look, there's a book called Sovereign God. There's a book called The Real Good News. There's a book called The Curse of Unforgiveness. There's, you know, and list or go to David's site and direct them to David's site and show them, you know, those things. Or you can, or even this, show them the scriptures. Teach them the scriptures. Show them the scriptures and let them find out for themselves what it, what the word does say. But as far as, it's, you know, that's pretty thing here not to teach doctrine, and that's to stand up and teach like a one-man show. Okay.
Right.
But to, just to share with somebody and to explain something, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Can I interject, Tim?
Sure.
That's what I do, Michael, because first off, I don't have the knowledge, and it would just absolutely overwhelm me. I mean, I know how serious God is with this, and that's what I do. We have so much awesome information that we've gotten through UBM. Why would I want to take that for myself? You know, let's just give out the real good meat, you know? So that's what I do. I just...
You know what scares me, Trish?
What?
What scares me is that verse in scripture that says there's a special place in hell for wrong teaching.
Yep. That scares me a lot too.
<That's>
being a woman or not, that just scares me.
Being
a
man, a woman, or whatever. You know, or a donkey. I mean, man, that would scare me. Go to God.
Oh, yeah.
That scares me. Okay. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to take up a whole lot of time.
No, it's good to have the fear of the Lord in you. And the problem is when you're puffed up and think you are a teacher or something like that, and you know, you're looking for glory or star glory, and there's just so much danger in that.
That's boy, you hit on something right there, Tim, that we've seen a lot of, and I struggle. When I was asked, I didn't want to do it. I did not want to do it. I'm be honest. I'm just up front with you. I didn't want to do it. And I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, I ain't gonna do this, you know, unless you just want me to. And He told me I want you to. And so I still don't care nothing about it. I mean, it's a fear of the Lord doing something wrong. That's what gets me. Doing something, saying something wrong and leading somebody astray. That keeps you on your toes. It should, or at least it should. And a lot of these charismatic speakers, guys who can speak well, you know, they can go out there and they can speak to a large crowd and not be nervous. And I'm nervous every time I pick up the microphone. But to teach, now to sit up there and cut up, I don't mind doing that. But when it comes to teaching the word, I get nervous. I get real nervous unless the Lord is leading me. And He has to. And I told Him, I said, if you want me to do this, you have to help me do this. And He has, praise God.
Amen. And I totally relate to that. Just because you don't want to be out of line with the Lord, you know. So, all right. Well, we're wrapping down. So does anybody have any last comment before we close out tonight?
Yeah, I do again, Tim.
Okay.
I was just thinking of people who might be suffering from the shock value of the discussion. I remember Carter Conlon, he's the senior pastor at the Times Square Church in New York City, Times Square. And he said there was somebody that came down to the altar one time just sobbing and came to the Lord, and he asked Carter during that process, he said, is pornography, do you think pornography is wrong? And then Carter, you know, Carter said, yeah, it is wrong. And he said, I'm an actor in that industry. And, but he was so humble, you know, the Lord just, he had just come to the Lord. He just found out about the Lord, you know. So it was beautiful to see that kind of humility, and not even knowing what God's limits were. But anyway, I don't want to. I'm not trying to impose guilt by association. It's just, I think this whole thing is all about humility and following the Lord.
Amen. All right, anybody else?
Hi, everybody. A quick question. Not to take away from what you said, but you know Carter Conlon?
Yeah, I've talked to him.
Oh, I used to go to Times Square Church for a season when I lived in New York. Yeah, him and his wife.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a very good teacher. Yeah, and I knew of David Wilkerson. I went to their missionary program a long time ago. Anyway, you all were talking on a good, very good subject and really touched on an issue that me and a close friend of mine, we don't debate the subject, we just discuss it. Should women, what is the role of a woman in the church? So I'm glad you all talked about that.
As Carter's wife is one of the pastors there.
Yeah, she is. Teresa Conlon.
Yeah, she's cool. I love her.
She's a sweet woman. They're from Canada. Yeah. Yeah. I was surprised. A small world. But I know that wrapping up our conversation, but I do want to just say something and try to say it very briefly about you all. I came in on the conversation with somebody who was talking about a book, so I didn't hear everything, but I do know I was watching one of the main people who was a part of some big church on television. And he appeared to have a very humble heart, and he was talking about intimacy with Jesus, and he's writing a new book. And when I saw him on television, I became very interested in him and his new book because he seemed so humble and full of humility. But as I was on the internet, I think on YouTube, trying to listen to one of his messages, something just, and this happens with me and the Lord, I'm just laughing because the Lord does this. I'm noticing this quite a bit. When I try to go and watch something about somebody, something else jumps out at me about somebody who came out of his ministry. And long story short, I ended up finding out that this person is a part of Knights of the Malta. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that, but after I did some research, that's something that's really tied to the Catholic Church and some type of, what do you call these people, Masons. So I just was, like, really amazed at God and how people can seem so full of humility and write these really good books that seem very God-focused, but then there's something in their life that's tied to a satanic agenda. And, you know, that just really opened my eyes to see how the spirit of seduction works, because God talked about seducing spirits, or Paul wrote about it. And what he was talking about, it was very drawing because he was talking about Christ and being close to Christ and how he felt like he went swimming and Jesus was right there with him. I was like, wow, that sounds amazing. Like everything you do, you can feel so close to the Lord, which I believe you can. But then, you know, it's like when I found out more about the movement he's a part of, and I don't know, it just really grieves me, not to make the conversation go in a downward mode, but it also gave me joy because God led me out of a path of temptation and deception. I praise God for that, because this man was very full of things, so full of humility. And I was amazed because his name, I haven't heard any bad things about him, but I was just shocked and amazed, like, wow. A lot of churches are joining up with the Catholic Church that supposedly were mainstream Christian ministries. Anyway, I thank God that he showed me that. I wouldn't want to buy this person's book and receive any erroneous teachings or anything like that. So I just thank God.
Amen.
Tim, I need to correct myself. I said I talked with Carter. I haven't, actually. I've just corresponded. So I think that was very wishful thinking on my part. I've had some very serious dreams, or very compelling dreams regarding him, and several of them. So,
amen. No, that was good for Famika. As far as that, there was, you know, some of that is just a sales pitch to get you to buy the book, and you can get, you know, you can get reeled in. But yeah, there's billions that are being, you know, made on these books in Christianity. And I think Joyce Meyer, just her royalty, which is just a percentage of the profit on her book sales, is $3 million a year. And just to show you, I mean the craziness and, you know, what's, you know, behind that whole marketing of books and that. So, all right, does anybody need any last prayer before we close out?
Could I say something?
Yes.
What would, you know, there's probably a real fine line of teaching to women and getting into doctrine accidentally, you know, teaching what we shouldn't teach. That would be a nice to discuss. I'm sure it's on the site that, you know, I sure want to be careful myself. You know, I don't want to get off, and I want to be corrected, you know, if I ever do.
Amen.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
Repent! Repent!
I have. I was, man, you know, because, you know, talking about the other parts of the Bible, I sure wouldn't want to get off as a woman, you know. So anyway, I would just want to have a thought.
Maybe we could talk about that Tuesday.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we can look more into that and bring that up on Tuesday. All right. So let's. If nobody else has, does anybody else have? The biggest thing is prayer. Does anybody need prayer before we close out for anything? All right, so Father, we just thank you for another awesome night, Lord. We just thank you for all you're doing in all of us and bringing us truth and bringing us into your fullness and allowing our outer man to decay and our Christ in us to be resurrected. And Father, we thank you for just everybody in this room. We thank you for just their humbleness and their eagerness and their, you know, to learn and to run after you and to get more knowledge and truth. And Lord, we just ask you, just fill us all full of your truth. Lord, open up our eyes to your word. Give us a hunger for the word and just guide us, you know, just to be right with you, Lord, and to walk in obedience to you. And Father, we ask you, just bless everybody this week, Lord. Just give them a good and right night sleep tonight and just refresh their spirit, Lord, and just give them just a new anointing and a new zeal to run after you, and just help them to keep focused on you and not to get distracted you know, in their walk. And we just ask a blessing on everyone in Jesus' name. Amen.